Oh, boy. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here, especially because this is a little different day. We're going to have breakfast together after this service. If you didn't know that, that's why there's a little more activity going on back in the kitchen direction. So after the service, just stick around, eat some scrambled eggs and some biscuits and some sausage and get to know some of the other people that are here. That way, there's no rush to take off today, okay? But that does mean we don't have all the bananas and the stuff that we usually have back there, because we want you to be hungry in an hour, okay? We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for, a long, long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you. If it's okay with you, I'd like us to bow our heads and pray before we begin. So let's pray. Thank you, God. You have been good to us. Even in those times where it feels like life is not treating us well or not treating us fairly, God, you have been faithful. You have been present with us to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us. And God, we thank you for that. Thank you that this morning you've gotten us to this place at this time so that we can worship you. As we sing to you, as we listen to your word, as we gather around the table of our Lord Jesus, in all that we do, God, we pray that you would meet us here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, pretty much every Sunday I say something along the lines of, if you're interested and able, let's stand and let's sing. There's no rule that says you got to stand up to sing. You just sound better when you're standing and you're singing. And since this isn't a show where, like, where we're watching these guys and, yeah, you did a great job, they're leading us in singing to the God who loves us. And so you feel free to sit if you need to sit, but we hope that as you get to know the songs, you'll sing along and you just sound better. You can breathe better or something when you stand. So if you're interested and able, let's stand.
Amen. I'd like to read from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me, clean me from my guilt, purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion, it haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. I guess, God, we're just continuing that prayer because that's what these songs have been. As we think of you, the God who made us, coming into our existence, you see the King of Glory coming to where we live. God, we are so grateful to you that we don't have to try to run and hide from you, that we don't have to be afraid of you, but like we just read, that psalm of confession, that you will purify our hearts, that you will cleanse us from sin. If we'll just be open to you, if we'll just confess it to you, if we'll just lay it all out there and say, God, you're right, I need your help. So God, that's what we do today. We're not hiding anything from you. You know exactly what we're walking into this moment with. All our successes and all of our failures, all of our joys and all of our frustrations, all of our griefs and sorrows and all those things that have made us laugh. God, we just bring it all to you today. We pray that you would shape our hearts and our imaginations as we worship you today. As we just sang, that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. God, as you do this, I pray that you would give us courage to trust you and to follow you into the future that you have for us. Into those big dreams that you've been dreaming for our lives that we've been just settling for less, God. So help us to boldly step into the future you have for us, the freedom that you have for us, the purpose that you have for us, the difference you want us to make in this world. Thank you, God. Thank you for being with us today. Continue to speak to our hearts and minds as we continue to worship you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. We like to take a couple of minutes at this point to shake each other's hands and introduce ourselves to each other, extend the peace of Christ. I love the sound of laughter and conversation and all of that. It's a good, good thing. That means you either like each other or you're laughing at each other or something positive is happening there. So that's good. You've got, hopefully you grabbed one of these on the way in, a little welcome bulletin, lets you know what's going on around here these days. Inside there is a little welcome card that you could fill out, share how we can be praying for you or thanking God with you. Maybe something good has happened and you want to thank God for it and share that with the rest of the church. Or maybe you just have a question, you want to get involved in something. If you do fill this out, just make sure you drop it in the offering box. There's a little box right before you walk out, not the trash can, right next to that is a little box. You can drop that in, and that way it'll get to me tomorrow or maybe Tuesday this week. Tomorrow's a holiday, isn't it? And I can follow up with you. Also, if you're giving an offering today, we don't pass baskets. You can just drop it in that box, or you can give online. That works too. We are having a couple things I just wanted to make sure you knew about real quick. Yesterday, I've got some pictures up there. Yesterday, some of the kids had a quiz meet down in Lafayette and did very, very well, like always, including Miles, our drummer, who is sitting slouching in the back. Congratulations, Miles. Well done. So, these, and you can just go on through the rest of those pictures, Linda. Thanks. They went down to Lafayette. They study every, throughout the week, but then they come on Wednesday nights, and they study scripture together, and then they go, and they have quiz meets with other churches where they answer all these questions about the Bible, and they I hope, have fun. They seem to have fun, and they also learn quite a bit. So it's a very valuable thing. If you have little kids, it's for elementary age. It happens during the school year. It's a good thing. Of course, if you want to volunteer with them on Wednesday nights or on Sunday mornings, there's always room for volunteers. If you want to work with kids, we just have to screen you first and make sure, you know, go through all the background check stuff. But if you'd like to get involved with that, that would be awesome. Tonight, there is a forum taking place up at Liberty Bible Church on the heroin epidemic, and I was reminded about it this past week when Mitch Peters from our church here ended up at lunch with him and some other guys that are involved with that, and Mitch is actually going to be on a panel tonight talking about some of that. He's been working with folks who are struggling with drug abuse and coming out of that, as well as all the work he does as an attorney here in town. Plus, the main speaker, right? Is Herb the main guy tonight? Okay, all right. Herb Steverson is a guy in town that some of you have purchased his book that he's published now called Junk Box Diaries. He's going to be sharing some of his story. I was at another event with him and got to hear some of his story. And, I mean, this is not some problem that's happening somewhere else. This is a problem that's happening right here. And tonight is supposed to be focused on the church's response. What can we as Christians, what can we as a church do for our neighbors to help with this? So if you'd like to be there tonight, the details are there in the bulletin. Next week, we've got an annual church meeting that you're welcome to come to. Like today's breakfast, next week in between the services, there's like a little budget and vote on the church board and that stuff. We still want your bras. We still want you to sign up for the 6K in May. There's all kinds of other stuff you can read about in there, but I got to keep moving. All right. There's also some notes in there. It says at the top, what comes next? Last week, we started the story of Nehemiah, and it's just a little quick three-week series, and we're right in the middle of it. So if you're here for the first time today, all you missed was part one. It was just the first chapter of his book. So it's real easy to just go back and read Nehemiah 1, and I even gave you a reminder up at the top. You can go listen to it if you want to on the website. But last week, Nehemiah reminded us that when something breaks your heart, when you see something happening in the world and it's just not right, and you realize that, boy, something's got to change here, and you're feeling it. You know, your heart is breaking. You're feeling that compassion start to well up inside of you, and you're not sure what to do about that. Nehemiah had that kind of experience when he heard what was going on, the condition of Jerusalem. He was in exile. He was off in Persia where they'd been hauled off to. And now he hears that back in Jerusalem, the wall of the city has been broken down, and the gates have been burned, and they're in disgrace. And we looked at Nehemiah chapter 1, and we found out when something breaks our hearts, we need to make sure we don't just move on and try not to think about it, you know, like we so often do. We see something that breaks our hearts, and we're like, okay, I just can't think about that anymore. This is just overwhelming me. I'm going to cry. Okay, quick, kitten videos, something else. I need to look at something else. We need to not just move on and try not to think about it. We need to look in the face of this hurting person. We need to look at this circumstance, whatever it might be, and you know, last week we had an opportunity for you just to share with each other what's something that's been breaking your heart just briefly. And I know I heard from some of you, like, the political situation that our country is in right now kind of breaks your heart. the way we're so deeply divided and splits right down the middle of some families, you know, some very much on one side of an issue, some very much on another side of an issue. Maybe it's the refugee situation that breaks your hearts. Maybe it's our homeless situation here in town, or the heroin epidemic. I talked to somebody middle of the week at our Bible study. They said, it's the brokenness of families. They said, where I work, I just see constant families broken apart and the pain and the grief that comes with that. And that it just moves me, and I don't know what to do about it. So we don't move on and try not to think about it. We sit with it. We let it affect us. And then we'd also make sure, we need to make sure we don't just try to find someone else to blame or to blame God or to put the blame somewhere else. Instead, what we need to do is we need to own our part of the problem. Nehemiah does this. He says, look, I'm a part of the problem, God. The reason why we're in this situation as a nation is that I'm a part of it. I've contributed to this, and I suffer as a part of this. We need to do the same thing when we face an injustice or when we see something that breaks our hearts. We need to realize that, look, when one person suffers, we all suffer. When one person, you know, faces injustice, that impacts all of us. And frankly, we need to own up to our part of the problem. Often it's a problem we've contributed to in some way, perhaps not intentionally, but maybe at the very least, you know, by failing to love our neighbors as we should, we've allowed something to continue that should never have continued, a situation to develop that never should have developed. We need to own our part of the problem. We need to let God shape our hearts and imaginations. That's what Nehemiah chapter 1 is all about, his prayer. He just prays to God, and you can see God is beginning to shape his heart. He's beginning to, like we sang, break my heart for what breaks yours. He's beginning to shape his heart and his imagination. Nehemiah kind of has a thought of how he might be involved. And you can almost, as you're reading chapter 1 and get into chapter 2, it's almost like, oh, okay, so as he's praying, God is starting to put ideas in his mind. And Nehemiah, maybe you could do this. Maybe you could be involved. Maybe you could help change things for the people of Jerusalem. And as we pray about what breaks our hearts, I believe God does this. I mean, I believe this is what happens, that you're praying for that person, you're praying for that situation, and God starts to speak and starts to say, well, have you thought about this? You know, or next time you talk to somebody you disagree with politically, maybe you could do this. You know, maybe here's how you could begin to build a bridge. Here's how you could be a peacemaker. Here's how you could begin to contribute to a solution instead of the problem. We need to go to God and let him shape our hearts and shape our imaginations. And then we need to make sure we don't stop there, but we need to take action with God's help. So once you begin taking action, once you begin doing something, you're like, okay, I got to do something. I'm going to take my first step. I'm not sure what comes next. Then what happens? Well, here's what happens in Nehemiah's story. We mentioned last week, he was the cupbearer for the king. The king there in Syria, that means he was the one that was trusted to bring the king his wine. And in chapter 2, we see early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign. Now, first chapter, when it's breaking his heart, it was like it was fall. Right? Now it's spring. So he has spent months dwelling with this, mourning and grieving the condition of his hometown, his home city, and praying and asking God, what would you have me do? And now, here he is, in the following spring, he says, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified, because now's the moment of truth. Like, I'm going to have to make a request here, and I don't know how he's going to take it. So I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. The king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied. Have you ever done this? You're in the middle of a conversation and you just kind of toss up one of those quick, ooh, help me God, you know, that kind of prayers. You know, this is one of those little, he doesn't say it out loud. It's just, you know, in his mind, he's like, please God, please God, please God. And then he begins to speak. If it please the king, and if you're pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. So now he's put it out there. Will he let me go? Will he give me his permission? Will he give me his support? I'm talking to the king who could say, what? No, of course not. And how could you ask such a thing? You're supposed to be loyal to Persia, not to your old hometown. This could create a giant rift between him and his boss. Or what happens? The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, well, how long will you be gone? When will you return? After I told him how long I'd be gone, the king agreed to my request. And then he takes it one step further. He says, I also said to the king, if it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. It'd be kind of like if you were traveling from here to Washington, D.C., and you had to say, you know, and it was like you had to travel through those wild lands of Ohio, you know, and all that. And you were saying, please give me letters to the governor of Ohio. And what comes after Ohio going east? Was that Pennsylvania? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, saying, please give me letters to the, you know, so that they'll allow me to safely through their territory. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I'll need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, for a house for myself. And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. Wow. Holy cow, this went extremely well for Nehemiah, okay? This had broken his heart. God had begun to say to him, I want you to be involved. And as he goes to his boss, to the king, to ask permission, he not only gets permission, but he gets resources to do the work. And that's why I put there in your notes, the good, there's good and there's bad that comes with beginning to take action on things. The good is often we find resources beyond our own coming alongside and available for whatever it is that God is calling you to do. All right. I'm sure that the guys who started, the men and women who started Free the Girls, this nonprofit that sends these used bras to women who are escaping sex slavery in other countries, I'm sure when they started this, they thought, well, let's see what happens. You know, they've sent, is it over 500,000 bras, I think, at this point, overseas. I've talked to some of the people that are involved. It has exceeded their expectations, okay? They've had more people, they didn't know that you were going to go to your workplaces and ask all your coworkers, hey, can I have your old bras? You know, they just didn't know that people were going to get this excited about donating old bras to help women get out of sex slavery. Resources beyond our own. If we're following God and we're doing what he's called us to do and we're taking action, sometimes you find that resources, that other people begin to get involved and there are resources available. Sometimes this stops us. Sometimes this is why we don't ever take that first step. Because we look at the size of the problem and we look at my meager resources and we think, how on earth can I make a difference there? What are my I don't have any, I can't do this. And it's like we forget that we serve this God who, well, you remember the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? You remember this story in the Gospels? Where Jesus he's been teaching and he's out kind of in between towns because he's just kind of traveling along and people just keep following him. And he's got this huge crowd, thousands of people, and it's way past lunch. And people are getting hungry. And the disciples come to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, can you just like dismiss the people to go and get some food because they're hungry. And Jesus says, no, this is good stuff. You know, we don't want to stop this. Just give them food. And they're like, we didn't bring food for 5,000 people. All we've got is 5 loaves, 2 fish. And Jesus says, okay, that'll do. And they bring their meager resources to the Lord of the universe, who prays, thanks God for them, and gives them baskets. And it's like, okay, here's some bread and fish for you. You go feed those guys. Here's some bread and fish for you. He just divides it up, and they all walk off with a little basket with like a few little pieces of bread. And as they go out and hand it out, they just keep handing it out, and it just keeps not running out. And at the end, 5,000 plus people have been fed, and they've got basketfuls of food left over. They've got more leftovers at the end than they started with at the beginning. All right, this is the God that we serve. And once we begin to take action, now if they had just said, 5 loaves, 2 fish, that's not enough. Forget that. We can't do it. If they just said that to him, they probably wouldn't have written the story down, okay? It just wouldn't have made the story. But instead, they said, well, this is what we have. And they offered it. And it was enough because God was involved. When you begin to take action, resources beyond your own start to flow in and you find yourself able to do more than you anticipated. All right, flip the page over. You also end up with partners who catch the vision and join the mission. Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem and he kind of scouts it out. He sees just how bad it is. And it says, the city officials didn't know I'd been out there or what I was doing. I hadn't yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I hadn't yet spoken to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or anyone else in the administration. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Then I told him about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and my conversation with the king. He says, we've got permission. We've got some resources. We don't have workers. Will you help? And they replied at once, yes, let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. This goes right along with resources. There are human resources, people resources, that you might be surprised that you're not the only, you'll find out you're not the only one whose heart is breaking over the circumstance that you're facing. You know, when we find out that there are kids in other countries without clean water, oh, and I just found out this week, they just let us know, the folks from World Vision, that the 6K isn't just going to end up helping kids in Africa. They also have kids in India and, nuts, I forgot the third country. There are three different countries where World Vision is operating, and they're finding they need clean water, and they've been able to pair us up with kids in those countries too. So when you sign up and you register to walk in the 6K on May 6th, and they send you the bib with the kid's face and name, it might be a little Indian child, or an African child, or a child from that other country whose name I forgot just now. But they had their people that come alongside. This is popping in my head because I'm thinking about how all of a sudden there are other people who are joining in. You're not the only one who's concerned about kids without clean water, kids who are dying because they don't have clean water. Last year when I was running the marathon and I was asking people for donations, and I'm outside one of the coffee shops here in town, and there's a friend of mine who's talking to some guy I don't know. And he's like, hey, how's it going with the marathon training? I said, oh, it's going really well. And, you know, I'm just asking some people for donations. You know, every $50 is another kid gets clean water. And the guy I've never met before who's sitting with him is like, 50 bucks? Pulls out his wallet, hands me 50 bucks. Says, here you go. You know, I wasn't even asking him for a donation. But that's the kind of thing. It's like, oh, wow, yeah, kids need clean water. 50 bucks will make a difference for a child. Here, you never know. Once you begin to take action and begin to share your story with others, that's what Nehemiah did. He shared his own heartbreak and what God had been doing so far, and other people said, yeah, let's do this. Now, obviously, it's not all good, all right? There is definitely some bad that comes along with taking action and trying to help people and trying to make a difference in the world. Nehemiah faced opposition from other people. In fact, chapter 2, as soon as he gets to Jerusalem, it says, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. And they expressed that displeasure over and over and over again. As you read the story, they keep on coming after them, and they threaten violence. They threaten all sorts of things. The people that live around Jerusalem keep reporting to the workers. They're saying, we keep hearing over and over again that they're going to show up, and they're going to ride in on their horses with their cavalry, with their armies, to stop us from rebuilding this wall. And so Nehemiah and his fellow workers, they all end up, like, half of them are working on building a wall, and half of them are just standing there scouting with their swords just ready. They are ready to fight. They're ready to defend themselves and their homes any minute. He keeps getting letters then from the enemies saying, from this Sanballat guy and Tobiah and others saying, hey, come on, why don't you come out and talk to us? Come over here and leave Jerusalem. Come over here. We need to talk about what's going on here, because we're hearing some nasty rumors that you're rebuilding this wall so you can rebel against the king, against King Artaxerxes. He's not going to like it. We're going to tell him that this is what's happening unless you come out and talk to us. And he knows, I can't leave the protection of Jerusalem or you're just going to kill me. And so he tells them, like, look, this is just a rumor you're making up. He actually says this. You're just making this up out of your own head. He said, there's no truth to these rumors. You're just making this stuff up. At some point, he has to encourage the fellow workers. He says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who's great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. There's a little bit of Braveheart kind of stuff going on in Nehemiah, you know, where they're saying, don't be afraid. Let's keep at it. God is with us. We're going to fight. Don't be afraid to fight for your homes. Now, they never do have to, but they face constant opposition and constant threats and great personal cost. It is not easy to put yourself out there and to spend yourself for the sake of others. In Nehemiah's case, he said, we worked early and late, from sunrise to sunset. Half the men were always on guard. During this time, none of us, not I, my relatives, my servants, nor the guards who were with me, none of us ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. Like, we just didn't take a break. There was never this moment where we just got to finally strip down and soak in a tub and Calgon, take me away, which is really old now. They don't use that anymore, do they? Some of you are like, Calgon, take me away, what's that? Old commercial for someone relaxing in a tub, all right? They never had that. There was great personal cost for Nehemiah, for those who signed on with him, great stress, great labor, and there will be personal cost. God doesn't call us to easy things. Anybody can do the easy things. We are called to do the hard things, the right things, the good things, to partner with God in making peace, in bringing justice, in serving those in need, caring for the sick and the hurting and the poor, for those things that break our hearts. Sometimes we do face opposition, and there's always personal cost, but the beautiful thing, this isn't a good, bad, and ugly thing today, all right? This is a good, bad, and beautiful thing. The beautiful thing in Nehemiah's story and in our stories is that God is with us every step of the way. Nehemiah replied in one of these situations where he was being opposed. His answer was, "The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall." That's what he said at the beginning, and that's what he says all the way through. He says, God will help us. This was God's idea. God is the one who put this burning passion in my heart. God is the reason that I'm out here doing this, spending myself for the sake of this city. And God is going to help us to succeed. We are his servants. We are partnering with God in this work. And he's going to help us get this wall built. By Nehemiah chapter 6, we read, so on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God. Just 52 days, this ragtag group of people who, they had some resources, but they were constantly threatened. 52 days, they were able to rebuild the wall around their city and to get the gates up. God was with them, and God is with us as we're trusting and following him. Now, I don't know what it is that God is calling you to do, and this was last week, but I'm going to reiterate this. I just said what God is calling you to do, and remember, Nehemiah's story doesn't start with God showing up in an angel or a burning bush or writing on the wall or anything like that saying, Nehemiah, I'm calling you to go and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. His story starts by just hearing from somebody who'd been in Jerusalem that things are bad, and it breaks his heart. And eventually, he has this sense, I have to do something about this. And he doesn't ignore it. He recognizes this is the voice of God calling me to do something about this. Most of us will never get an angel sent our way. Most of us will never see a burning bush that doesn't just burn up. Most of us will never hear a booming voice out of the sky. For most of us, the way God is going to call us to take action is by something in here, kind of twisting and saying, oh, that shouldn't be. That's not right. How is it that we're not doing something about this? And when that happens to you, please don't just ignore it. And please don't just assume immediately it's the voice of God, okay? Do like Nehemiah did and pray about it. Talk to God about it. He took several months before he first said anything to the king. Pray about it. Do what you need to do until you have this clear sense that, yes, in fact, God wants me to do something. I don't know, I have all the answers yet, but there's a plan beginning to formulate. Bounce it off some people. Talk to some people that you know and trust who won't think you're crazy, all right? Church is a good place to find people who won't think you're crazy if you're saying, I think God wants me to do something. Some people will say, yeah, God wants you to do what? So talk to some people who also believe in God and believe that God is active in the world, who believe that this is what God does, that God answers people's prayers through people. Talk to somebody else and see what they might, who knows, you might have your very first partner right there from someone who says, yeah, oh, I could totally see God calling us to do that. Yeah, let's make this happen. God is with us every step of the way. I've mentioned before that, you know, I've run the marathon with World Vision the last couple of years. I'm running it again this October. And when I realized when I heard the call earlier this year for host sites for the 6K, the picture that I had in my head for us as hosting one of those here in Valparaiso, there's one up the road in Portage. I ran last year. Several of us, about a half dozen of us, 10 of us maybe, went up to Portage last year and ran. They did it on a rails to trails thing. You ran out and back. We didn't all catch the turnaround spot. Linda ran a little further than she was supposed to. That's okay. It's all right. Yeah. But I had this picture like, you know what, how could we get more people involved? And I thought, we could do it right across the street. And the hope in my imagination is that our entire church on May 6th, those of us who aren't otherwise, you know, doing something, some of you will be at a children's quiz on May 6th, but those of us who are available will all be across the street walking that track or running that track May 6th and having already registered with your $50 so that some kid will have clean water and you'll be wearing their face and their name. Now that's the picture in my head. That's what's beginning, that's what was stirring in my heart, and that's what I've put out there. Now we'll see what happens, all right? Who knows? It might get to the end of this and I say, well, it was a good try, you know. But who knows? We'll see. We'll see what God does in your heart along the way. What is it that's breaking your heart? What is it God's calling you to do? That's what I want us to not be afraid of. That's what I want us to recognize, that this might be the voice of God stirring something in you. I just want to close by a verse that is found nowhere in Nehemiah. It's from the New Testament, one of Paul's letters to these early Christians. We call it Ephesians because it's written to these folks in Ephesus, where he just says, "Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us." Because God is able to do far beyond all we could ask, all we could imagine, by his power at work within us. The power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Scripture says, is at work within you. As God begins to shape your imagination and as you allow things to break your heart, what might God want to do through you? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's just invite God to speak to us for a moment. God, I'm sure that there are folks all over the place this morning on this. There are probably some folks in the room who are feeling like, well, I haven't let anything break my heart lately. I don't have anything like that. God, you know there are others in this room right now who are shaking inside because they are wondering what on earth you might want them to do, because there is something that's been bothering them for a while. It's been breaking their heart, and they have had this nagging feeling like they should do something. And here's the pastor saying that that might be the voice of God. God, we pray for clarity. We pray for courage. We pray for the strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to be at work within us, that you would shape our imaginations, that you would guide our steps, that as we begin to trust you and to take action, to move in the direction in which you're calling us, God, we pray that you will help us to find support and encouragement and the resources that we need to do the work you're calling us to do. Thank you, God. Thank you that when we cry out to you in our need, that you hear and answer our prayers. You tap someone out there on the shoulder. Your Holy Spirit moves someone to act and to be the answer to our prayers. Now, God, for many of us, you are stirring something within us, and we find ourselves being moved to be the answer to someone else's prayer. Please, God, grant us wisdom and courage to trust you as we begin to take action. Thank you, God. Thank you that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are with us every step of the way, through the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly. That God, there is the beauty of your presence with us and your power at work. We see this in the life of Jesus Christ. You gave your only Son for us, God, and he went all the way to the cross, bearing our sin, And you, by your power, defeated sin and death and raised Jesus from the dead. Now we have every confidence that whatever we face, it is not stronger than you and your love for us and your power that's at work within us. We celebrate that this morning in the celebration of communion. God, we offer you this bread and this juice and pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood, remembering the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf to set us free from sin and from fear. God, we offer you ourselves today and pray that by your Spirit's presence in our lives, we too might be transformed, that we might live as the body of Christ, as your hands and your feet here in the world. Thank you, God. There's not a single one of us here that have earned a spot at this table. It is only by your grace, it's only by your love for us that we approach you today in prayer, that we approach the table of our Lord Jesus. And we find that you are not condemning us, but as we confess our sins, as we repent and turn from sin and turn toward you, that God, we find you full of love and grace and mercy. Feed us at your table, we pray, that we might have strength to believe that you really do love us and that we might have courage to walk into the world following you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to come lead us in one last song. We're going to celebrate communion together, and then we're going to have breakfast. But for communion, the way we do that here, I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice and eat it, and then return to your seat. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. There's no pressure to participate, of course, but if today you're thanking God for the grace that he's shown us in Jesus Christ, then you're invited to come and to celebrate right along with all of us the great love that God has shown us. So let's celebrate. Let's give him thanks. Amen. Thank you, God, for the grace and love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ, we pray, that we might live in this world as your sons and daughters, as the hands and feet of Christ. Now, God, I pray that you would bless our meal together. Thank you for those who prepared it and are serving us. God, I pray you'd bless our conversations, that these might be good times of encouragement and of fun. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Right back there to get some eggs and biscuits.